Okay, I think there we go. Testing 1, 2, 3. Good. Are we seeing that? Okay, very good.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Please remind, I would like to remind you to watch your belongings, always, just in case. And our next panel will be introduced by Andrew Lee. He's author of The Wikipedia Revolution, and he's also a former journalism professor at Columbia University and Hong Kong University. And he's currently a professor at University of Southern California, Annenberg School of Journalism. He's also an administrator on the English Wikipedia. And this panel will be called Interpreting Wikipedia's Demographic Decline, Implications for an Emergent Community.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, all. We couldn't have asked for a better introduction today than Jimmy's presentation. You saw some of the slides there, and the slides and the graphs of, over the last few days. I think this is going to be quite an historic Wikimania, because I think it's the first one where we're really seeing the community analyzing these numbers and seeing that it's no longer a euphoric growth mode for the projects, but it's a maturity mode. And we saw the we see the terms among all the different sessions in the last few days about the maturing of the community. And I think that we wanted this session to be not just myself, Eric Zachte, and Matthias Schindler telling you about what we see in the community, but what we want is to have you folks give us ideas, or give everyone ideas, on what's going on in your communities and maybe what will explain this phenomenon, right? Because we don't have all the answers, we don't even have half the answers. And I thought this would be a great forum to get your feedback on this. So first off, if you use Twitter, if you could use these two tags, not only the Wikimania tag, but the stats tag, you can even use this for Eric Zachte's afternoon session, which goes even deeper into stats, then people who are interested in following along with the stats and the demographic discussion can follow along here, and we'll also take questions. So if you have a question or a comment, I will be monitoring the Twitter feed, and when Eric and Matthias are talking, I can chime in with some of the things that you guys are discussing as well. Okay, so if you're using Twitter, Wikimania, and stats as the two tags that you can put on your posts, and we'll track that as well throughout the session. Another shameless plug, Wikipedia Weekly is the podcast that Liam Wyatt, myself, James Forrester, a bunch of other people do. The reason why I bring it up is that this was really the first forum where we started talking about the numbers going down in 2007 and 2008. And for a while, we thought we were hallucinating, and no one would really give any credible discussion to the fact that the community was starting to see some bumps, that the numbers were starting to sink a little bit, because we didn't have stats. And we'll talk about that in a second. We didn't have full dumps of the Wikipedia and especially English Wikipedia project to analyze what was going on in the largest project in the universe. In the Wikimedia universe, not the universe, the Wikimedia universe. So, as we mentioned before, when I was launching my book this past March, one of the last stops I had was in San Francisco, where I talked to the Wiki Wednesday crew. And it was really interesting because this is where the genesis for this session came around. And the reason why it came about, it was Eugene Kim. Is Eugene here or not? He's not. Well, he's not going to hear this. He's not going to hear how I portray him, which is good. So we were at Wiki Wednesday, which was in Citizen Space, one block away from the Wikimedia Foundation offices in San Francisco. And Eugene was kind enough to gather a really smart bunch of Wikipedians and Wiki folks in the industry so I could talk about my book. And he said that he was troubled by something, and this is before he was hired by the foundation. He said that he used to have this trick. And he's been in the Wiki world for a long time. He used to, during his talks to public audiences about Wikipedia, he would, in front of them, at the beginning of his talk, vandalize a page on Wikipedia. You know, we all have probably done this once or twice. You demo it to people by vandalizing a page, and he would say to the audience, by the end of my talk, it's going to be fixed. And usually within a few minutes, the vandalism would be fixed, and the crowd would be impressed, and they learned something about the ecosystem of Wikipedia, the people in it. And what he told me at this night, on this evening, was really interesting, because he said he had to stop doing this project and this exercise in 2008, because vandalism wasn't getting fixed by the end of his talk. So that was a real wake-up call, not only to me, but people in that room, saying that you could no longer do this trick of the crowd will just fix it. It'll magically heal itself. It wasn't working anymore in 2008, not 2009, 2008. So this was really quite an interesting thing that he told me, and it got my head thinking about what we should be talking about at Wikimania. The next day, I actually, just by chance, had a meeting with Ed Shee at PARC. Anyone who's a geek will recognize this is the famous first Ethernet tap ever. It was installed at Xerox PARC when they were creating Ethernet there, so I had my picture taken there. That's the, for any geek, a really great landmark in Xerox PARC. And this is when Ed Shee started showing me his research, which will not come out until October. And he wrote a paper for Wikisim, which is also a kind of a academic-oriented conference about wikis. And he said that he found some really interesting numbers, and we had started to blog about some of these things and talk about it on Wikipedia Weekly. We interviewed him. So those real numbers won't be coming out until October, but we're going to give you some preview of what he's starting to talk about in terms of modeling Wikipedia's growth. So what are the motivations for talking about this now? If you looked in the news for the last 2 weeks, Ed Shee at Xerox PARC has already published some of his findings on a blog. So what kind of articles are we seeing in the media? Things like this in The Guardian. Wikipedia approaches its limits, right? We're doomed. The online encyclopedia is about to hit 3 million articles, but growth is stalling as inclusionists and deletionists fight for control. Actually, this is probably more relevant to our covering Wikipedia topic tomorrow, where how does the press portray Wikipedia and how do we report on our own community? Another headline, chart of the day, Wikipedia's growth tumbles. Not that I agree with these headlines, I just want to show you the array of news organizations reporting on this phenomenon in just one blog post by the PARC people. The Inquirer, our favorite press agency out there. This was not Cade Metz either, right? Wikipedia dying. Two words, very powerful. Wackypedia's growth is sloping off. And on this blog here, will Wikipedia end before long? Doomsday. Terrible things are happening in the community, right? Well, terrible things. And then this one, which will make Richard Stallman kind of upset. Legal Brief says, Wikipedia approaches its limits, but it's locked and you have to buy it and it's copyrighted and everything and you can't get to it. So you can't even respond to the charges in this article, right? But these are just what you would find in Google News from just doing a simple search on Wikipedia and growth. And you can see why a bunch of people have called me and other folks have said, is Wikipedia dying? Is it really in bad shape? Well, that's what we want to ask you folks for this talk. Let's skip that one. Wikipedia. So when I was giving my talks about Wikipedia, this is why I described Wikipedia works. It's free, it's open, it's neutral, it's timely, it's social. I'm talking to the Wikipedian Wikipedia crowd here. This is not new to you. If you read the book Wisdom of the Crowds by James Surowiecki, he actually identified four things which I thought were quite good about why not just Wikipedia but other crowdsource models work. Right? If you have these four elements, it creates an environment that provides for the crowd doing great things. Right? You have diversity, lots of different editors from different backgrounds, you have independence, you have decentralization of the folks who are working on it, and you also have a way to aggregate all the contributions into something coherent, right? NPOV, editing only one page, you can't have separate articles for the same topic, right? At South by Southwest, Derek came up with a more specific implementations of what James Surowiecki said. He said that you need to come up with small, simple tasks, right? Editing a sentence here, section editing, fixing grammar, punctuation, adding a reference like we do in our projects. Large, diverse groups of folks make an article better. designed for selfishness. You know, have ways for people to get some kind of personal gratification from participating in a project, and aggregate the results in a way that makes it coherent. Okay, so these are how they're done in Wikipedia, right? Modular structured writing in the encyclopedia format allows people to work together on a style of writing that is relatively well-known and well-understood. There's a policy of radical inclusion in Wikipedia, allowing lots of folks to participate. There are personal and social pages. Some have been pruned over the years, like user boxes and Esperanza and things like that, as we heard the other day from Florence. Tools to diff, inspect, and monitor vandalism, right? So these are ways to monitor how edits and contributions are either incorporated into the body of text in Wikipedia or rejected. So the question we have to ask ourselves at this stage in development of Wikipedia and the wiki projects, how much writing is there left on the horizon, right? How inclusive are we now with our policies and how our communities have evolved over time? Are we creating welcoming social spaces in the community? Eugene, you missed your story. I told the story about your editing exercise. So, and are the tools friendly to use in the community? Okay, so of all these four items that we saw before, there are serious questions right now about whether the wiki communities are supporting those four functions well. Okay, if you look at what Wikipedia looked like when I joined in 2003, this is what greeted me. And what really stood out to me was learn how you can edit any article right now. It was pointing at you. You can edit any article right now. And in 2004, it still said, great, experiment to find out how you can participate in the development of Wikipedia. But if you kind of move towards 2005, it's a little bit more passive language that we have now, right? Anyone can edit it. Maybe not you, but anyone can edit it. And to this day, that's what the language is on the front page, okay? Now, I'm not saying that the absence of that one word changes the whole dynamic of the community, but I think the language has changed over the years. It used to be at the very top of every page as, you know, learn how you can edit this page right now. It doesn't say that anymore on each page, okay? Minor things spread over millions of pages maybe makes a difference, right? So this is a graph that I showed back in 2007 in Taiwan. I thought it was useful, and a bunch of people who saw it said, you gotta update this for what we see today. So this is my update 2 years after I showed this in Taiwan when I was talking about what I already saw as some disturbing trends in the community. If we look at kind of the major principles and policies back in the first generation of Wikipedia, these are the acronyms and shortcuts that we used, right? Assume good faith, ignore all rules, neutral point of view, right? These are kind of the basic things that Larry Sanger, Jimmy, those folks in the early days of Wikipedia laid down as the policies that should govern most things. There wasn't too much instruction back then in the first generation. As we start to go to another generation, you know, Wikipedia was not just on a corner of the internet where no one saw stuff. There was, you know, a lot of articles available, and it started to get indexed into the internet. So now you had things that dealt with disputes, right? Three revert rule, 3RR. You no longer just said, oh, you're not an idiot, you can be an administrator. You have to have a request for adminship, right, an RFA. You had some articles that had to be protected because Wikipedia was so popular, but you didn't want to lock them down completely, so you had semi-protection. You were trying to delete articles that kept cropping up, so you were trying not to go through votes for deletion. You had this CSD, criteria for speedy deletion. It was kind of vague at the time, but at least it gave you a guideline. So that was kind of the second generation of policies that came up after the initial basic principles of the community were there. But then we started getting a little bit out of control here, right? So this is what we started showing in Taiwan 2 years ago. We started getting CSD G1 through 12, R1 through 3, I1 through 8, CSD CUTP. I couldn't even tell you what half these are because there's a page that references all of them. You can look them up yourself. We have things like BLP, which by most people's account is a good thing, right? Biographies of living people. These are folks who live, breathe, operate today. What is written in Wikipedia has serious implications. I think it's a responsible thing for an organization or a community to look out for what kind of possible harm you might do to someone's personal life, right? Reliable sources, verifiability. Anonymous article creation was shut off at one point. No spoiler tags. Spoiler tags were removed at one point in Wikipedia. I think they're still eliminated in English. Is that right? No more spoiler tags for movies and plot lines. And then, you know, unsourced items were tagged with citation needed. Okay. A little bit slower, yes. And then to update this graph for what we see today, we now have in the works what I had to really read three times to understand was semi-flag protection, intermediary flag protection, and what I consider one of the stranger evolutions in Wikipedia now, the RFA gauntlet, the Request for Administration gauntlet. So this is quite kind of what I see as the community creeping, you know, slowly towards, and it's not necessarily bad, but we need to recognize that these things are happening. And some things are discarded, some things are added, right? But the funny thing is that not all these policies are additive. Depending on when you entered the project, you might have had different sets of rules that you consider canon. And I would suspect a lot of people in this room who joined Wikipedia as early as I did probably don't know a lot of the current rules that exist and probably would not make adminship if you tried today. So that's something that I find curious. Are any of these top 30 editors of English Wikipedia in this room right now? There's like seven bots, so I don't expect them to be in the room. Are any of these folks in the room? I'm not surprised, probably not. Right? In 2005 in Frankfurt, I bet you the top 30 editors, you probably have quite a number of them at Frankfurt. But right now, you can see the community's gotten bigger. The folks involved with governance and meeting people face-to-face and traveling and engaged in community activities are quite different than the folks who are making the bulk of edits right now. Okay, again, not a bad or good thing, just we need to recognize that it's happening. I think I'll skip this because we want to get to the stats pretty quickly. I just wanted to give you a quick rundown. If you're not part of the English language Wikipedia crowd, get ready because this is what administrators have to answer today. These were taken off of requests for adminship today. All right. As administrator, what would be your approach to tendentious editing? Not too bad. Does a sign have copyright? When can a Wikipedia include image of a sign, or image include a sign? Or conversely, when would a sign appearing not be appropriate? How you intend to proceed with CSD in the future, etc. When is the last time you told a lie? What were the circumstances, and do you regret it? Ouch.
When you stop
beating your wife. Right. Hypothetical AFD1, I'm not going to read this. You should just kind of blur over with the hypothetical that is tossed at this candidate here, which I really do not know how I would answer, being a journalism professor and a veteran of Wikipedia. Assume that tomorrow you unintentionally wind up involved in some major newsworthy incident that makes you instantly notable personality. How would you feel about a comprehensive Wikipedia article about yourself? Do you think it would be useful for ARBCOM to consider the creation of a subcommittee of admins and not admins? You start to get the idea. These are not serious questions for the candidate. These are posturing because you really want to make a point about your pet cause. Yet you're using RFA and causing misery and grief to individuals to make your point in a public forum, right? That is my opinion. Pretty strong one, too. This is just an example of a guy who had to answer for having 7,700 edits in 1 year of acting pretty responsibly and said, why do you have a low edit count? 7,000 edits in 1 year. Blows my mind. This is pretty decent edit count by all measures. So again, traipse through RFA sometimes, you'll get a lot of interesting answers. This almost reminds me of being a Supreme Court nominee trying to get approved by the Senate. You know, in fact, it may be worse than that. Never make it, yeah. Just as a quick example, this is what editing the dogs article looked like maybe 4 years ago, right? Wiki markup, double brackets, bold, italic. This is what it looks like if you edit it now. it first of all, it warns you it's a really long article, 79 kilobytes, and you've got this taxo box, which looks like a database. All right. So again, what do new users see in the community? So pushing down, what do I consider pushing down on participation in Wikipedia is that arcane wiki editing that we just saw there. An intimidating adminship system, over-instruction perhaps, lots of rules built up over time. Wikis are good at collaborating on articles. For policies, they just tend to creep like ivy, and sometimes it's hard to prune them back. Right. So why are we talking about this now? Well, one, we have stats, finally. Right. For the last 2-3 years, we've been saying we don't have stats. The dump process would never finish correctly. No one really had the time to look at it. I'm really happy to hear Eric Zachta sent me an email earlier this year saying it's been fixed. The tech folks said someone was on the case, and now we do get semi-regular dumps of English language Wikipedia because before it just never completed successfully. So, what are some of the models? I love this picture of Ward Cunningham because if anyone's ever met Ward, he is completely not like this. You know, he's such a mellow guy. But what are some of the models we need to look at for understanding what's going on in the community? So, number one, we heard yesterday about the 99-1 communities. This is the general kind of rule of thumb about online communities. 90% of the people who are in an online community are lurkers, 9% might be contributors, and then 1% are the real hardcore contributors to this. And this is, a general rule of thumb, not always the case, but pretty good, you know, kind of exponential drop-off in terms of who's there. If anyone see the Gartner hype cycle, some people have suggested to me, well, have you looked at the Gartner hype cycle? Maybe Wikipedia is just kind of at the top of this. It's going to come down. It's going to come back up again. I won't go through all the particulars of the Gartner hype cycle. I just put it out there as something that people have told me to look at. I don't think Wikipedia is part of this, but it's worth taking a look at. Some people say Wikipedia is on the standard logistic curve, that we're going up, but it's going to flatten out, and suddenly there's going to be no production in Wikipedia. Well, we know that's not going to be true. And because people think that it can't be a logistic curve, they don't know what other model to use. And that's hopefully what we'll talk about today, is people's ideas of what does the curve look like if it's not a standard logistic curve and it's not an ever-increasing exponential curve. Okay. So this is one of the dangers of applying projections. If you look at the other pages on Wikipedia about stats, modeling Wikipedia's growth, almost everyone projects out to infinity, which is not a very useful exercise, right? So if you go to a lot of these pages here, these are straight off of the modeling Wikipedia's growth page on English Wikipedia. Everyone projects out to infinity, and for the longest time, for the last 5 years, we've all been saying, wow, the sky's the limit, right? Human knowledge is uncapped, and we're just going to keep rising and rising and rising. Well, that's kind of foolish, and we shouldn't be too surprised that, you know, we're kind of reaching the top of the S-curve. What's after that? Right. Again, some more projecting to infinity here, where people project zero article production by 2013 in Wikipedia. Quite silly, right? And that things are going to flatten out, and we're going to max out at maybe 4 million articles, and not a new article should be made. Right? Not the case. But here are the raw numbers. So if you look at English language Wikipedia, the new articles per quarter, these are numbers that Eric Zachta has crunched through, and I just graphed here. We see that second quarter 2007 was really the peak of all these numbers. And the peak of new article production in English Wikipedia, at least, and as we saw in Jimmy's slides this morning, it kind of goes across the board with German, French, and the big encyclopedias, Wikipedias. The other languages, like Polish, a little bit further down the line. But generally, they're of this pattern, and Eric will show you some more about this. And you can see on the graph of how many articles are in English Wikipedia. If you don't use a logarithmic scale, it's hard to see that trend. If you use a logarithmic scale, you can start to see it's kind of dipping down at the end there. Right? So again, modeling Wikipedia's growth, you'll see these type of charts that project out to infinity. There's some other folks who have come up with alternative projections. Modeling Wikipedia extended growth by user WikiD77, he projects it out to further along 2025 as a possible scenario for the growth chart. But What was interesting about visiting Ed Shee and the folks at Park is that they are starting to write a paper describing how we're looking at a hybrid model, and how do we interpret this hybrid model. Instead of kind of going at the top of the S-curve and flattening out, maybe what we're doing is hitting the top of the S-curve and we're hitting the natural kind of slope of increase in human knowledge, right? So the way I like to describe it is we have different types of fruit, right? We have fruit that's on the ground, dog, earth, these type of things that are, you know, articles that we all really know pretty much everything about, but they need to be written in Wikipedia. You have low-hanging fruit, articles that you know should be in the encyclopedia, but you may not know everything about in the article, Buenos Aires, for example. And then you have your hanging fruit that's high. It's harder to reach these things. You need more expertise, more work to get to them. Okay, I'll skip that for a second and show you what this might look like on this graph here. Okay, so if you look at the evolution of Wikipedia English, at least over the past 7 years here, you see that almost every 3 years we have this, you know, different slice in the development of things. So I would consider the first 3 years as kind of fruit on the ground, right? As Jimmy said, you know you need an article about Africa, you know you need an article about dog, and we know a lot of things about those. It's fairly easy for people to write those. You don't need as many references to say a dog is a four-legged animal, right? But you do need references if you're talking about the physiology and the more complicated parts of that. Then we get to the low-hanging fruit, and then the higher-hanging fruit, and this is kind of where we're seeing, we're at the end of the higher-hanging fruit cycle here. And what goes beyond this level? So, some hypotheses. One, human knowledge is always expanding, but it's not expanding at the steep exponential logistic curve that we saw in Wikipedia from 2001 to 2005. The activity that we had during that fruit on the ground and low-hanging fruit cycle was actually to catch up with the existing knowledge that we already had, right? So to use these kind of curves at the beginning to project where Wikipedia is going long-term is actually not a very good model, right? Because we're catching up on collecting the information, right? So will we settle into a less dramatic curve, even linear at the very top? So the folks at Park say maybe we are heading into a sloped line at the very top. What's the angle of the slope? There are other people who say, well, it's still a curve, but it's going to be a less dramatic curve than we have in the early days, because we're actually talking about multiple types of activities stacked on top of each other, right? Because with the fruit on the ground and low-hanging fruit article writing, you also had people at the same time producing very complex articles about very specialized knowledge. So it's hard to say that we're just in phase one, phase two. These phases overlap. Different people got engaged in the project for different reasons, and they're writing articles of different or varying difficulties. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to Eric, because what we want to do is just kind of put a lot of these ideas out there and get you folks to tell us what you see what's happening on the community, because we can only see what's in the numbers, our immediate context, and we want to hear about other languages and what you see as trends as well. So some of the folks that you should be in touch with and monitor to see these types of trends. The UNU Merit folks gave a presentation, was it yesterday? Yeah. Wikimedia Foundation has a usability study, really interesting results from those folks. Palo Alto Research Center, Ed Shee, and Bang Wan Su, they're doing some really cool things at visualizing some of the activity in Wikipedia. User Dragonflight, Robert Rode in California, in Berkeley, he's done some really good statistical analysis in the absence of full dumps that were out there. And Eric, who's with us right now. So I'll hand it over to Eric, and then we'll come back to the discussion in a second. Okay. Full screen. Slideshow.
Wow. Well, you won't have to fear that I speak too fast. English is definitely not my native language. I have a couple of tables and charts that give you hopefully a general sense of how well are we doing. Is there really a large decline? I think not. I hope to demonstrate that. On this table, which is very crowded, I'll talk a little bit more about it in after lunch. You see page views. Every column is for another language. The most leftmost column is for the summary of all languages. This is only the Wikipedia. I just wanted to point out one figure, top left. We have 12% more page views than a year ago. It's not going to the next sheet, Andrew. Help me out, please. It doesn't.
Strange.
Well, you've seen this one before. Actually, Jimmy paved the way for this meeting. This is the growth in unique viewers worldwide and in the States. He told you about it. Comscore produces these data. And at least in this chart stops at the end of 2008. There was a very healthy growth by then. For the last year, this is about the same data. In the black line, that was the doubled black line, you see overall unique visitors, and then the other ones are per region. And you see that also last year there was growth. This is about reach. Do we still have the same? Internet is growing, and are we growing in the same speed? Well, more or less. This one. Here we compare ourselves with other large web properties. Actually, this one is not for publication. Comscore wouldn't like that. But again, you see the double black line at top. That's the number of unique internet visitors that there are all together. And the purple dotted line is where we are. And we almost keep up with the overall growth of internet. The same chart, but this time in an indexed version. So every web property starts at 100% in a year ago. And there are some fast risers, but the large ones, we're keeping up with them. And Eric Muller showed this one yesterday. This tries to predict how many editors we will have in 1.5 year time. And there may be slight decline, but in occasional editors, but the real core group of editors keeps going. And that slight decline is negligible. It might even be that if we had taken two other points to do trend analysis, that it would have changed a bit. Well, on the English Wikipedia, there is certainly a decline in number of editors. But how worrying is that? The different colors are for how active the editors are. And this one shows, do we still have an influx of new Wikipedians? And this has been the topic of debate over the last months, a source of concern. But I'll tell a bit more about it later. This actually is the same data, but in a bar chart version and for several projects. And it looked a bit dramatic in the line plot, much less so in the bar chart. I don't know. That's an optical illusion. I would say if I see those five projects here, these are the projects with most editors. In at least four out of five, the top four, I don't see a really worrying trend. There are fluctuations, and to my surprise, only Commons is the one that really has a markedly decline in editors. So, in the beginning, as Andrew already told you, we were on a euphoric wave for several years because everything climbed exponentially. But then, I think that can't be the true nature of things. There are very few things that stay climbing exponentially. Another example is the growth of the world population. We learned at school that is an exponential growth, but we know all the same that it's going to end sometime. And in the predictions that you see here, the curve is straying away from exponentiality already. The same logistical curve or S-curve that Andrew talked about. It does apply, I think. It depends on where you use it. It does not per se predict the number of articles that we will have in 2 years' time. Actually, I wouldn't dare to make a prediction for that because it depends, for example, on where what kind of articles we want to include. There has been talk of duplication of the current number within. It could happen in the next few months if a bot is going to make articles for every village in the world. To take a more extreme example, we could have 100 million articles if all known stars in the universe get an article. I don't hope so. But that's what bots do. They keep going on. I think the S-curve applies if you try to analyze where our growth came from, at least partially. Well, the internet growth is still going on, and we are riding on that wave. It's growing on not only in number of connections, but also in speed. And right now, that is still a source of concern in parts of the world, with our large articles and heavy imaging. Then, of course, we all know that Google made us large as we are. And that was an S-curve. It started slow, it catched up, and now it's much more difficult to get even higher in the Google rankings. So there's a saturation effect, which the S-curve is all about. And then I think, at least in parts of the world, in Western countries, we are at the end of the S-curve in terms of notoriety. Almost everybody knows about Wikipedia. And that was not like it 2 years ago. Actually, I took a cab drive this week, and the driver asked me, he spoke more English than I did Spanish, business. And I said, Wikipedia, not really expecting it to resonate. You never know. He said, Wikipedia, comments. So it's going around. Because we are that notorious now in parts of the world, people who, and many of us, I think we share the experience that when we saw Wikipedia the first time, we were enthusiastic from immediately. And this is something I want to contribute to. It should have been that 10 years ago. I call those people naturally born Wikipedians. Because we are so notorious, that influx has more or less stopped. All those people who jumped at it right away, they are already contributing. The hype cycle, Andrew pointed us to it. Actually, and he said Gartner is, which is a large strategy firm for IT development, has devised this and used it for all kinds of techniques. It's not about the productivity of a solution, so it would not apply to our article count, for example. It's about perception. It's about what people expect from a new technology. So, for example, when the dot-com boom and the dot-com crisis after it is a good example of how overhyped expectations resulted in underhyped expectations after it, and then it rebounded and found the balance. So that might be what, this is more about what the media write about us than what we produce ourselves. Well, this one you saw already. Actually, these are all technologies, so it gives you an impression of whether a certain technology is still expected to be the solution for everything, or is being maturing. That's what I wanted to show you. One more remark, please. Maybe I'll do it again this afternoon, because I strongly believe that that point should be made. Most of the time we talk about article counts. I think we should try to steer away from that. I already mentioned the bots, and I think in large Wikipedias that will become a much larger contribution. Well, I said that. There are other metrics that give a better perspective on how healthy our community is. And I want to show you an example after lunch. Thank you.
As we said, we want to open up to comments and questions, but as the moderator, I'll take the prerogative to ask Matthias Schindler, who has kindly agreed to be one of our first commenters. What has your experience been in the German Wikipedia? By all accounts, German Wikipedia kind of reached the top of the S-curve earlier even than English Wikipedia. And have these concerns been something that German Wikipedians have talked about, and what do they make of the phenomenon?
Is this working? Yes. Good morning. Thank you both for your presentations, and it was great to look at the numbers, and so it satisfied already one of my two fetishes. So the first fetish is about numbers, the second fetish is about monitoring news. I've been doing this since 2004 for Wikipedia specifically. So the number one headline I've been seeing for 5 years now is Wikipedia is dying. And the reason for this is it has nothing to do with numbers, because the numbers, you can get the numbers anywhere supporting your point. It simply sells better. As a journalist, try selling a story. Well, Wikipedia is moving forward at a normal pace. Things are the way they were yesterday. you can try. I mean, you might find a spot in The Onion or any other kind of humoristic newspaper making fun of its own profession. But basically, there is some sort of a strong driving force for drama, for decay, for anything going. Going broken. And of course, it sometimes happens. It sometimes fails. And usually it doesn't fail in this kind of a curve. It usually happens with a bang, a loud bang. And I've been, for example, monitoring the business for printed encyclopedias. And you have this boom in the 18th, 19th century of printed encyclopedias, and there's a plateau in this, and it moves along, and there the internet comes, and it makes poof. And suddenly a whole business is now gone. It happened in Germany. It will be fun to watch it happen to see how Britannica does it. They will be releasing a new printed version this year, and it will be fun to watch if they actually rediscover or find a market for their encyclopedia. The advertisement I saw for the new Britannica edition was that they include the biography article on the Israeli Prime Minister, and it turned out that the Prime Minister has changed since March this year. It's nothing wrong if it's on paper, but it's kind of odd to make it as an announcement or a press advertisement. So I don't expect to see Wikipedia follow the rule of any curve or any projection. And there's one reason that usually I think I can back up with more than just anecdotal evidence from Wikipedia is the mere existence of a projection changes the future of Wikipedia, as people discuss this projection. So the moment there are statistics, moving around, being circulated. People will react to this one, will change their pattern of behavior. We have seen this in Wikipedia, in the German language edition, the way people are helping to maintain the content, the existing ones, not writing new ones. And the moment the statistics went offline for a while, the editing pattern simply changed. And when the statistics went online again, the numbers looked quite differently. There was a huge lag in maintenance regarding orphan pages, pages with no links to other articles, and people shifted their focus of attention back to this maintenance work. So Andrew and Eric and everyone producing numbers, you can actually change how Wikipedia is going to look like just by releasing the numbers, making suggestions, and you can both be helping to disprove your own projection by simply releasing it, and of course you can make it happen and steer this direction. What I was a bit disappointed on this one was it was actually supposed to be a talk on the demographic decline, and the numbers focus, and thank you for Eric mentioning in the last sentence, is these were numbers on articles. And of course, there's a bias in statistics for numbers that can be easily created. No one makes statistics about the quality of articles. Why? Because it's hard to assess the quality in a number. If there was a statistic on the quality of the article, people would start criticizing the method. If it's just an article count, there is little point in criticizing it. You can still do it by different methods of defining what an article constitutes, but still, I would like to see, are there smarter metrics? Are there metrics that resemble more things that resemble the demographic development in Wikipedia? And of course, there are external sources, there are companies, more than ComScore, there's the Allensbach Institute in Germany that is actually having phone conversations with a panel of 1,000 Germans asking them, well, do you use Wikipedia? Do you use it for reading? And of course, this is this effort is extremely cost intensive, and the error, the systemic error in this one is enormous. From the external numbers we get from Allensbach Institute, which might be similar to I don't know the American equivalent for this one, but there should be companies making these large phone call based surveys. We get the feedback that about 5 to 6% of the people in Germany who do have online access do actually write in Wikipedia based on the results. And of course we can disprove it, because if there were 5% of 30 million people editing in Wikipedia, it would look like a different beast right now. So there has to be an error somewhere, and usually it would be a kind of bias in the response that you are more inclined to say yes, even if you don't know what the question is about. Back to the statistics. Yes, we can get some value out of these numbers, but there is still more room to come up with smart metrics and to see how we can actually influence or use these metrics, these numbers to change Wikipedia. And the first one would be to abolish the focus on the article count, because after, let's say, a million articles, it's pointless. The number of articles is not determined by the amount of people working on a Wikipedia, but just on the general agreement on how fragmented your wiki is, or how fragmented you would like to see your wiki. If you put every single Pokemon character in one Wikipedia article, or if you put 300 articles on how many Pokemons are there? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't change a single bit of about the content itself or the work. Sorry, the work. I stomatologist. But you will get different numbers without having changed Wikipedia a single bit. So please look at the numbers, but please don't get blinded by shiny graphs. And thank you for making the graphs shinier every year.
Thanks, Matthias. It's a good point. Let's go around that side. Start with Dror, and then we'll go back towards Kim.
Okay, first of all, would like to say that when you exit the room, the security guard will verify your IDs and your stickers on your laptop, so be prepared to show your laptops when you exit the room. And we are recording this, so whenever you talk, please use the mic. Who's the first?
I agree with certain things that Matthias said. First of all, that the number of articles is really not a good index to, and I think it's not a matter of a million articles or less. This number is a bit deceiving, and I also agree that Wikipedia is not dying. First of all, because a lot of people use it, and not people, organizations. And there are a lot of creative works that, or all kind of works that are based on Wikipedia. So we're not facing the death of Wikipedia, but we do have some problems here. And I think you mentioned them in this presentation. But perhaps we should point them out even more clearly. We're talking about the basic principles of Wikipedia, and first of all, that anyone can edit it, and it is not the case anymore. In many Wikipedias, I mean, we're talking a lot about this concept of community, and these communities are supposed to be open. They're not open as they should be. I mean, I'm talking about my personal experience here and experiences that I hear from other people. It's not easy to enter the community, and not only as a sys admin, also as just a member of the community who edit articles. It's very hard to enter to this community, and now you also have a language barrier, because Wikipedians now talk their own language, and you mentioned all these acronyms and abbreviations that you have to learn, and I myself got when I got into a kind of discussion and a debate about a certain article, I received a lot of acronyms that I didn't know how to interpret, and when I went to the regulations that these acronyms refer to, I found myself in very legalistic and complicated text. Now, if we're talking about a neutral point of view, it's also a kind of a principle that has been questioned, not directly, but people understand it differently than they used to. For example, people have the idea today that if you can find enough sources that use a non-neutral term, then it's okay to use it. It wasn't the case at the beginning of Wikipedia. I think some resentment developed towards Wikipedia because people start to use it for political motives, and they justify it by citing all kinds of sources and say, okay, we have 10 sources that use these politically charged terms, so we can use it on Wikipedia. We also see the use of voting and polling in order to justify edits, and in this way, pardon? Oh. Yes.
But Dror, you've had a lot of experience across different language Wikipedias, right?
So
you've seen a unique, from a unique perspective of several languages.
It happens in all Wikipedia. I used to edit. Currently, I'm in a kind of wiki vacation, but I'm more involved in general free content projects in Wikimedia Israel. But I edited in the Hebrew Wikipedia, the Arabic Wikipedia, and the English Wikipedia, and I saw these phenomena in all three. The amount of regulations, the exaggerated amount of regulations is typical to the English Wikipedia, mm-hmm. The debates that goes into polling, I saw it a lot on the Hebrew Wikipedia, and in this case it's very hard to edit again, because you're told we already had a debate and we voted and this is how it should be, you shouldn't touch it anymore.
Right. Now, so there's not as much green field out there for,
yes,
for people. That's,
yes,
a lot of established,
yes,
rules that are,
exactly,
harder to change. We're going to quickly go around,
okay,
the room, and
okay,
then if we have time, we'll come back for more. Let's go back to get some more comments back there.
Okay, I'd like to connect to what is this Gerard said?
Yeah.
Another Gerard. Oh, there's more than one. I'd like to connect straight to that. A lot of people outside of Wikipedia, don't really trust what a wiki is. They don't understand what it is. And, you know, if you edit a wiki, doesn't that go wrong? Doesn't it give problems? Everybody's heard this story from someone in their environment now, right? But what's happened is that a lot of the experienced Wikipedians and lots of experienced people from the wiki projects have moved on to new things. And so now we're getting new people in, and they don't actually trust the wiki anymore. They don't use the wiki. You know, if you want to edit an article, if you want to edit a policy page that's being pushed very hard, use the talk page, and don't edit the wiki page. Don't touch the wiki page. Use the talk page on an article, on anything. And we'll have a vote about it first. Wait a minute. Look, so we could actually replace the talk page with a forum, and we could replace the text wiki page with a Word document. We're not using a wiki anymore. We're not using a wiki at all. And this is going, if this doesn't explain part of the slowdown, I don't know what does. People just don't know how to use a wiki anymore, and we're not teaching them how to do it.
Okay.
So that's basically the point I want to make. That's the thing that I've really noticed.
Okay, that's a good point. Let's take another question there.
I actually just wanted to respond to Matthias's point about the tracking article quality. I'm actually talking about that on Friday, but we do have statistics now for over 1 year on the English Wikipedia for about 1.5 million articles that have probably been assessed for a year or more. Although those assessments don't get updated very often, so you can really only determine the long-term trends, I would say that the foundation and people should start tracking those statistics at least from a year-to-year basis, to see, are articles getting worse or are they getting better? We can at least see long-term trends. And also the French Wikipedia, I think, has probably 150,000 assessed articles for at least a year now. So I'd recommend looking at those.
Can you give us the headline of what you concluded from studying 1.5 million articles?
I would say a slow but steady improvement in quality would be how I'd summarize it.
Good. We'll go here, then we're spill checkers. Yeah.
2 years ago, I was in Italy, and I met the guy who was effectively the bowl of Wikipedia. He was the one who wrote something like 70-80% of the articles, and he was basically editing alone. For him, the number of articles of the bowl of Wikipedia is extremely important, because for him, it is the difference between I'm making some progress. For him, a number like I got the 250th article in Wolof was important. Now, when you want to have things like statistics on quality, etc., basically they are non-existent. They are basically telling you nothing, because there's nobody else looking on it. How would you consider all the things that you discuss in terms of the small projects, where basically you don't have the numbers, where you don't have the size, where you basically don't have the public to make something happen?
Can I respond to that? I think we agree, and Matthias already all said, above 1 million articles, it gets becoming less interesting. For small languages, it can really matter. There was not a point I wanted to make. Let me think. Blackout. Yes, thank you. I was wondering, I hope that we are going to measure more quality, but it's not so easy, of course, and I'm really looking forward to your presentation. Can I ask, are you confident that the criteria for rating have not changed over the time? Because that you might see a lower or a higher figure and not know what it means? Or maybe I should hear that from you Friday.
The criteria have risen in standards very slightly, but not a big change.
Okay, thank you. I've been discussing also measuring quality several times, and hopefully someday we will have a method that will be language independent so that we can compare Wikipedias as well. Hopefully. Thank you.
Yes, it's problematic to measure quality, right? Like, because there are so many more metrics that can go into a quality article, and it's many of them are so much more qualitative and subjunctive, it's much more difficult. It's like measuring the quality of community participation or the tone of the community. It's much more difficult than simply measuring the number of editors or the number of edits that they make. And because of that, I think that we focused on edit count just because we have it, and it's much more difficult to get any other metric.
It seems to me that an important but probably difficult means of measuring quality would be to ask experts in the fields that have nothing to do with Wikipedia to randomly take articles in their field and give you some feedback if you could find people to do that. For myself, and I am very knowledgeable about medicine and music and certain small areas of history, and over the last few years, looking at the articles, which I didn't necessarily use for my own research, I found myself impressed by the improved quality. A, more references. B, fewer errors. And C, better written. For whatever that counts for.
Counts for a lot, we hope.
Good, good. We're spell checkers.
Thank you. I wanted to go back to a point you made much earlier on about, with your chart about the growth of complexity and so on of the and Byzantine systems within the Wikipedia, and specifically the RFA gauntlet on the English Wikipedia. And I don't know if the similar things happening in other Wikipedias, but just to give you a couple of figures behind it and dispute one of the things you then said, about 18 months ago, the RFA process on the English Wikipedia changed from appointing about 30 admins a month, consistently for some years before that, to consistently appointing about 10 a month over the last 18 months. And we now have some figures recently about the number of active admins has actually dropped by 80 or so from its peak 18 months ago, from over 1,000 to just over 900, a drop of actually over 100. But the one thing I slightly disagree with you on in terms of the problem at RFA, and having gone through one couple myself in the last few months, one of them successful and one not. It isn't really the questions and the somewhat off the wall and out of left field questions that's really the big issue, to my mind. Firstly, it's the rising standards of expectation of some of the participants. And maybe one of the problems there is that I suspect I'm one of the few people in this room who actually participates frequently in RFAs on there. And the other problem on there is that sometimes there's some real incivility that's tolerated at RFA, and it is somewhat a running the gauntlet process, and I think that is a big problem.
Mm. I thought I'll take a quick pause in the questions. For people in other communities, could you tell us about the process of promoting folks to that privileged status, whether you're an admin or other folks, that dynamic in other Wikipedia languages or commons or other folks? Have people seen that same kind of dynamic? Oh, no. I'll take a quick question. I just wanted to get a comment from folks who might have a comment on adminship in your communities. Yeah. Could you relate something about that?
I could tell about the German Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. It's getting more and more difficult to get an adminship because the criteria are rising up to infinite, and it's always very difficult for someone who is promoting another one, if he thinks he's good, and he is actually burning him in this discussion which is being held there. So it's like the politician being, I don't know, president of the world, or getting president of the world. So it's very difficult.
And can you describe maybe how it's gotten harder over the years? I mean, why do you think it has gotten harder over the years to become an admin in German Wikipedia?
It's difficult, but probably the basic part is the edit count. It was once at 5,000, and now it's under 10,000. You can't promote somebody, so it's almost impossible. And you
need at least 10,000 edits.
Edits, yeah.
10,000 edits.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's worse than English.
That's worse. Yeah.
Right. But an admin has to fulfill several parts of community people. So he has to be a good author. He has to be written at least one featured article, and he has to participate in at least, let's say, I don't know, 50 deletion discussions, etc. So the is growing the
right.
It's getting difficult.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Any other Wikipedians? Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your environment?
Okay, I am from Portuguese Wikipedia, and what is happening? It's becoming so difficult to be an administrator that we are no more able to make new administrators, and old administrators are getting off. This week, we had three active administrations that requested this is open meta.
Hmm.
And the last request for admission, the guy wasn't elected, and he had to answer 18 answers. You know, those kind of answers, they take a open case on administrations not subordinate. What would you do in that case? You know, the most difficult cases, which even the oldest administrators don't know what to do. There's a enormous pressure to decide up low administrations who don't show a very active profile. If you were not in the project every day, if you don't follow every discussion, so community wants you to exit. You are in a very delicate situation.
Mm. What I find curious is that this phenomenon is happening across languages, which wouldn't be what my intuition would tell me, but maybe there's something going on across all the projects. Yes.
I'm from Indonesian Wikipedia. I might share different stories, perhaps. We only had two new admin in the last 2 years, while we're the 25th Wikipedia. We have about 100K articles, and the process is a bit more peaceful. I mean, the process is usually one of the current admin will suggest someone to be in adminship. We have not, up until now, there's no request for adminship that was self-motivated. I mean, nobody nominated himself up until now. And maybe we're a bit fortunate because we have 14 admin now. All the 14 admin, the oldest one was from 2003, since the very beginning of Wikipedia Indonesia, all is still active. So that may be a different story.
Yeah, I think you're kind of still in the honeymoon period, which is good.
Yeah, I think so.
If we look at these graphs here for Indonesian, very active Wikipedians, 28. I don't think there's a times 10 or times 100. I think it's actually 28, right? Yeah, 28 very active Wikipedians. That's, Eric, what, more than 100 times a month? Is that right, Eric? Yeah, I think it's 100. And then, you know, you look down here, 192 active. And new Wikipedians, they're adding 43 a month. Yeah, the scale's over here. It's exactly that. Yeah, no power of 10. All right. So you're consider yourself in a nice comfort zone. Growth, happy community. You maybe have this to look forward to. I don't know. But Enjoy it while you can. Yeah. Spanish Wikipedia, we can take a look at that. Oh, you don't have latest numbers for that. Okay. Yeah, Spanish Wikipedians. Anyone here from Spanish Wikipedia? I would think, hope so, yes. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the administrator. How do you become an administrator in Spanish Wikipedia? Is there someone who can speak about that? Yeah, sure.
I am not an administrator. I'm just an editor. And I know there's a vote system. There's no edit counts, like I heard that in some Wikipedias you have. But you have to be very active in community to get voted. I can't say more because I'm not in that. That is.
Yes, you had a comment. We're going to give you a chance to say something. Yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Micah, quickly.
Sorry, quick question. Given the consistent story we've heard here and in other talks about rising expectations, about rising policies, about increasing complexity, are there any bright lights, stories of people who have active projects underway to where's the equivalent of the inclusionists, deletionists for policy? How do we get to a point where people are actively trimming complexity and lowering the barriers? True, although that is the details of the interaction itself and not necessarily some of these cultural issues and policy issues.
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I think too often, why don't we get the microphone over there for a response? I think, Kat, you had something to say. I mean, just too often, voting with your feet is often what happens. And when you vote with your feet, does it make a sound in cyberspace? Usually doesn't, right?
All right. I'm wondering if the rapid growth that we previously had didn't cause the expansion of policy that we had. You know, when I joined and when you joined, even before I did, the policies were kind of simple, but you had to kind of have the wiki nature to interpret them. You had to kind of know what they meant, and if you didn't know what they meant, you would find it a very unsatisfying place to be, and you would probably leave. Now, to try and get more people, as growth became more rapid, you had to write them down for people to understand, and there wasn't really time for people to enculturate. And I think now what's happening is that people who were new in that phase when policies did become more written down than understood are now taking it as more like, oh, this is a written policy. Written policy is everything. We have to understand it, and then kind of using that mechanically. And I think that's changed the culture a lot.
Right.
So, and I know every time there's a drive to simplify policy, there have been several, and the simplified policies just get more and more complicated. And then there's another drive to simplify policy.
Right. No, I think that's a great point. And I think there could be a lot to be learned from urban studies in understanding what happens, right? What works in a hamlet or village may not work on a city level, may not work on a metropolis level. And that's maybe what you're seeing, is that naturally, as communities get bigger, as the content gets, you know, to hundreds of thousands or millions of articles, maybe this is naturally what has to happen, is policy takes over, right? Yes.
Okay. I would like to make two comments which are connected. The first one is that we are analyzing growth in terms of numbers, and I think we are missing something, which is the emotional connection to Wikipedia. And I am saying this very seriously, because I was volunteering in the Wikimedia Foundation, and I was taking care of the bookkeeping. And it was incredible and very surprising that the people were sending the checks for $5 or $10 or $100, but they were also sending notes, very emotional notes, saying, I love Wikipedia, or saying personal reasons about their child had died, so they want to have an article on the reason why the child died. So there are people who has emotional connection to Wikipedia, and I think we have to think in terms of how to sustain this emotional linking and how to promote it. And the second element that I would like to introduce is that we are also talking about in terms of growth, but about more editors, more administrators, but also let's think about who are these editors and administrators in terms of, for example, if we look to the gender balance, the number of women who is actively contributing is much less. why this has happened, why women doesn't feel like as comfortable or doesn't have like this time to incorporate. So I think we have also to think about how we can make possible that some type of contributors like women or contributors for specific areas of the world are not contributing. So also go more specialized about the different needs of other kind of people. And I think there is a connection in terms of less woman participation with the element that we are being very cold and not considering the emotional dimension of getting involved in all of this.
Good point. Okay. I will try to post this on my blog, so you can get some of the comments here if you haven't taken them down. And we have to break for lunch, but I'll do a Richard Stallman and say, I've got stickers. Where are my stickers? Let's see. These are the stickers. They're Barn Stars, so feel free to give them to each other if you want. But these are Wikipedia Revolution stickers up here. Thanks.